Hi guys, this is Ivor Whitten on behalf of Metal Planet Belfast. I have the absolute pleasure to be interviewing Toby Jepson of Wayward Sons. Hello, Toby, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, sir, very well, sir. Sorry, I interrupted you there, Ivor.
No, not at all. I just wanted to thank you very much indeed for coming to Belfast and playing the limelight. In support of Steel Panther. You put on an absolutely fantastic show, and we really, really do appreciate bands like yourself coming over to see us.
Oh, no, it's our absolute pleasure. I mean, you know, Belfast holds a very special place in my heart. You know, I started there with the Little Angels way back in, I think it would have been 1988, 89, doing our first ever show in that same building in the small room, you know, and so to come back and to play the big room, you know, is always a pleasure. And I've done it a couple of times in the past. I did it in the Little Angels Reformation in 2012, and I also played it with Fastway a couple of years ago. So I know the place very well. But Belfast is an incredible city, and you know, I've got a lot of ties there, and I've done a lot of work in your wonderful city, and it's always a pleasure to come. You know,
It's always a pleasure to have you. And I hear that you are coming back to the Diamond Rock Club.
That we are, yes. We have just confirmed that. I mean, I'm waiting. I have to be honest with you. I'm not even certain I'm allowed to talk about that yet because Steel Panther have, you know, we've got a bit of an embargo on being able to announce our solo tour. But I think secretly under the radar, we can...
Let's just say we won't announce the date. but
Yes. But we're definitely coming, Ivor. We're definitely coming, sir. Yes. Excellent.
I just want to say, you know, you have a real pedigree in rock music, and you know, it stretches right back to 1985, and you have really been connected to an awful lot of iconic bands. Now, your experience in those bands, such as, of course, Little Angels, Fastway, Gunn, Dio's Disciples, your own Toby and the Whole Truth, has led right up to this point of Wayward Sons. Now, you've had highs and lows in your life, and musically. Are you where you want to be now, and what have you learned along the way to getting here?
I think every act and every situation I've been in has taught me something very valuable. I think it's... you know, having a life in music is exactly that. You know, what I've got used to over the years is accepting situations as they come along and taking the good out of it and hopefully learning something from the negative aspects. You know, the Little Angels was a huge learning curve for us all because we were young guys, you know, and so that took us right into a major record deal and coming out the back of that and the band falling apart and having to learn why that was, why that happened, to learn from those mistakes that we made. Specifically in terms of who we were as people, I think, and our relationships with each other. That's a very, very key thing I think I've learned over the years, specifically in recent years, is that music and the music business is inextricably linked to the way that you deal with the other people you're working with. And you have to be very aware of how everyone that you're working with has got rights, we're all different, you know, we've all got different temperaments. And so you've got to learn to roll with the punches a bit and sort of hopefully surround yourself with people that believe in the same values that you have. I mean, my values are very much based in telling the truth in music, pointing a finger at society a little bit, you know, holding a mirror up to what we're doing on a world stage, etc. And those things are really, really important to me. And on the older I get, the more that becomes important. I no longer look at music in the same way as just a purely entertainment thing. I look at my personal journey as being a way of wanting to talk and explore the negative aspects of life as well as the positive and try and give some hope to it all, you know. I genuinely think an artist's, a sort of responsibility is to talk about the things that are difficult as well as the things that are great, you know. So I think where I am right now with the Wayward Sons, definitely all of those experiences of with Dio's Disciples, where I travelled right across the world with that band, and you know, obviously, as you can probably imagine, sort of having to sort of sing those great songs, having been such a huge fan of Ronnie Dio, you know, for so many years, that was a big responsibility, and that taught me something very, very valuable, which is respect and a clear understanding of what my position as a musician in the world is, because I can't hold a candle up to someone like Ronnie Dio. And so there's a kind of, it's sort of like, quite, that was quite a humbling experience, really. So all of those things combined go into a very big melting pot where I sort of arrived at a situation where I could make this record for with Wayward Sons, and I wanted to get the people right first, and I think I have done. And but to hit the nail on the head, this album and this band are the most direct, most focused, most honest piece of creative work I've ever done in my entire career. And I don't think I would ever have got here without having survived through everything else, if you know what I mean. And it, because you know, I'm not going to make that too light a point, actually. Survival, it is survival, because most people will not understand how difficult it is to be a professional musician and keep your head above water. I mean, I think people look at people like me and think, oh, he's been in Little Angels, he's been in Gun, he must be loaded, all that sort of stuff. But actually, the reality is couldn't be further from the truth. You know, most musicians on a daily basis are surviving. You know, we're trying to carry on doing the thing that we love. And it's not always easy. So I feel incredibly blessed. I can even be on the phone talking to you about these very subjects. So that's the way I look at it. That because I've been afforded that luxury, then the least I can do is talk very honestly about it. You know.
Yeah, and it really showed when you're on stage just how tight the band was and how you all enjoyed each other's energy as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've released Wayward Sons album now, just in September 2017. The Ghost Yet to Come. There are some absolutely fantastic tracks on it.
Thank you.
Would you have a favourite yourself, and why?
I think my current favourite is Small Talk, actually, because that song's been around for quite a long time. I actually released it previously on an EP. I did some EPs called Guitar, Bass and Drums, which is several years ago now. But that was a song that I'd written over a period of time leading up to the release of those EPs. And it always had a very, very important, sort of central theme to me, which was kind of my depiction of living through Thatcher's Britain, really, effectively, when I was a kid. That's when my political awareness started to come to the fore. I was a young man, you know. I was a teenager, but I was becoming a young man, and I was, my dad was very political, and I started waking up to the fact that there was incredible amounts of intolerance in our country, incredible amounts of terrible racism, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of it fostered by that what I call a regime, because I think it was, you know, and I still think it's perpetuated to this day. And so that song is my view of that. You know, even though it's about me at school, if you read into the lyrics, it's actually about me talking about the social climate at the time, which was, I found very, very difficult as a young man, you know. So, and I think the thing is that it still stands up today in terms of the message, because we're living in a very, very similar set of circumstances with Bush in the White House and, you know, May in control of our country and our destiny. And I think that's absolutely disastrous, frankly. So it really, really impacted on me when I was thinking about other songs to put on this record. I couldn't think of a better example of a song I'd written that really talks about the things that I mean, I really feel strongly. So, and I love to play it. I love to play the tracks. It's a very punk orientated track. It makes me angry when I sing it.
Yes.
So the energy is correct, if you know what I mean, and it feels very real to me, you know.
Well, throughout the whole album, if you could go back now, is there anything you would change about the album?
I don't think there is, actually, no. And I say that in a kind of I say that for the reason that I've learned making records, because I not only make records, obviously I've made records as an artist, but I make a lot of records as a producer. And the one thing that I tell the artists that I work with is, look, what you're doing is you're documenting the time you're living in now. This moment that we're in now is what we're doing now, and that is really important. You can't start thinking, oh, it could have been better if we'd done this after the fact or whatever else. You've got to live with the consequences of what you do. That's part of being an artist, you know, and otherwise you would never finish anything. So you've got to sort of go, okay, that is what we are now. That is what we've done now. And that's what represents this this process now. So I don't have any regrets at all. I think it's exactly what we wanted to do in the time.
That's absolutely perfect. And you don't want to turn out to be like Leonardo da Vinci, constantly reworking his Mona Lisa.
Well, I think that's exactly it. I mean, I think that's a very good point. I think, you know, you can't, there is no such thing as perfection. The imperfections are what make things perfect, you know. So you have to live, I think you have to embrace things. I mean, there's stuff on the record that's out of time, the stuff that's out of tune. I don't care about any of that. I think it's about the spirit. I think it's about things and the attitude that we partook in when we were making the record, you know.
Right. Okay. You probably get this over and over and over again. You're probably sick or tired of hearing this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What was it like to be a Dio disciple?
Well, like I said earlier on in the conversation, it was an absolute privilege. I mean, I had a very, 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 very personal relationship with the music, because I'd grown up with that music. I mean, one of the first bands I ever got into was Black Sabbath, and Deep Purple and Rainbow, and all, yeah, pretty much all at the same time, because all those bands had already been in existence. And in fact, in the case of Sabbath with Ozzy, that was long gone. So I was introduced to Sabbath really with Ronnie, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I was a young kid when that the Heaven and Hell record came out, and I followed his career, and so to end up singing his songs, and some of the songs that have absolutely been the soundtrack to my life and to my upbringing and my education as a musician, was staggeringly important to me. So to get the phone call from Wendy Dio and say, look, we'd love you to do this, was just a real moment, you know. So, and I can't quite, you know, emphasize how what an impact it had on me, you know. So, for 2 years, pretty much, you know, on and off, we traveled the world, and with me and obviously Ripper Owens and the guys, Craig Goldie and Simon and everybody, you know, sort of playing those songs to a, you know, on a world scale. And it was just staggering. I mean, to stand on those stages anywhere in the world and sing Long Live Rock and Roll, you know, one of the songs that absolutely ignited me as a young musician, was really something special. So, yeah, it was an extraordinary privilege. It really was.
Well, it's just a little bit like how I feel as well, because I got into, my cousins introduced me to it. I had been, shall we say, inundated in my very, very early years with a lot of country music,
okay.
Irish country music, and then I learned what real music was like. And part of that was being introduced to Rainbow.
Right.
At exactly the same time, I was reading the likes of Lord of the Rings. I'm big into fantasy and sci-fi.
Mm.
And it was two things that hit me at exactly the same time and had the right sort of dynamic between the two, because Rainbow at that time, you know, they had so much fantasy element to it as well. It
was absolutely
beautiful.
I think one thing I'd just like to point out, that a lot of the reason why I loved Ronnie was because I think actually a lot of people don't talk about this, is he was an incredible lyricist, and in between all the swords and the sorcery and the dragons and the rainbows, he was actually talking with a very social voice. I mean, you only have to listen to something like Stand Up and Shout or Rainbow in the Dark or any of those songs. Actually, if you dig deeper below the surface level of the sort of the fantasy elements, he's talking about the underdog. He's talking about supporting his fans. He's talking about the little man. He's not talking about the huge fantasy that is the music industry. He's talking about that little kid that's at the back of the hall who is probably excluded from everything because, you know, Ronnie himself, you know, because he was a diminutive character, et cetera, et cetera. There's no two ways about it. I think he understood what it felt like to be a fan of music and feel a little bit excluded. And I think his music was for everybody or anybody who wanted to take part in it. Yeah. And that's the thing that always drew me to him. He was a real supporter of the underdog and had a very social view, very social mind, I think. And that's a massive part of my appreciation of what he did, you know.
Now, you are, of course, a musician. It kind of stands out a little bit. but you're also an actor. You've been in Gladiator, Sleepy Hollow, Angela's Ashes, Highlander. Ooh, there can be only one. except for films, because there's quite a few of them. And of course, Steven Spielberg's Band of Brothers.
Yeah,
you're also
a
producer. I was a little bit taken aback that you were helping to produce Saxon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That you've produced Toesland, which I've seen. They were over at the Diamond Rock Club as well. The Virgin Marys and Crow Molly, amongst others.
Uh-huh.
Now,
you're
also a writer. What else do you do? And what would you like to have a go at that you haven't done yet?
Okay, well, I mean, I think calling me an actor for a start is a little bit of a stretch. but I did spend 2 or 3 years in the film business being a stand-in and working with some very, very cool people. And I love the film business. I mean, in fact, you know, really the reality is that the film business is something I think I would have gone into if the music business hadn't happened for me first. You know, I was a real big, massive movie fan and a big movie buff. And I do have a big passion for films, and I definitely intend to get involved in movies again as I move through, you know, this part of my career. In fact, I've just been asked to score a film and write some songs for a film, which is a little bit under wraps at the moment, so I'm working on that at the moment. But I do, you know, I would love to make films. I'd love to be involved as a producer, literally a physical producer of film, because I think it's an incredible medium, you know. So that's something. I mean, I have the thing is with being a creative person is that I think you fall into things quite by chance if you're lucky. I think it's always better when you come across something that you didn't expect to be good at or didn't expect to have a chance to work at, and you enjoy it. I mean, that's what happened with me with the film business. I by chance ended up in Gladiator, but met some great people and carried on working in that industry, you know. Production was something I fell into. I got asked to produce the Virgin Marys, and I never anticipated being a record producer, but now I'm on my 23rd or 24th album as a record producer. So, you know, I think what you've got to do is, I think the lesson really is that don't say no to anything. Say yes to everything. You know, one of my big mantras in life is that when someone offers you something, take it, because you never know where it's going to go, and you don't know how it's going to evolve and where you might, it might lead you, and who you might meet. More importantly, who you might meet, actually. I've got some incredible friends that are, you know, from all sides of the entertainment industry, and it's shaped me, you know. I mean, I met my wife as a result of the music business, you know what I mean, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think always be brave, always take a chance, always have a go. And if it all falls apart, who cares? We're not here on the planet long enough to really be that bothered, you know what I mean? You just got to have a go, you know. So that's my feeling.
That's actually a really, really good point, and I think it's something we can all take away from.
Absolutely.
Now, finally, okay, I've taken up enough of your time, and I appreciate it.
That's all right. I'm sorry about the drums in the background. I think Steel Panther are sound checking currently. So we're very live, Ivor. We're very, very live, Ivor.
They're
the
not
moment,
important.
You know, so.
Right, now, I need to know, okay? It struck me whenever I was reading a little bit about it. Growing up, as I did, with fantasy, sci-fi, and I love little toy soldiers. And I'd gotten in very early to Games Workshop, playing 40K and Warhammer Fantasy roleplay.
Okay.
I just need to know, where did you get the name for your very first band from? Mr.
Oh, Mr. Thud, well, that came from a Dungeons & Dragons magazine, as you probably realise yourself.
Oh, my God. I'm really sorry. I just read it and went, that's not Thrud the Barbarian, is it?
It was Thrud the Barbarian. Yeah, we were all a bunch of geeks at sixth form college, and we were sort of, I kind of brushed a little bit with the role play thing. I didn't really do much of it, but a friend of mine, she was a vicar's son, he was really, really into it, and we used to play a little bit. And I was never any good at it, but I, you know, there was a Dungeons and Dragons magazine on the coffee table in the sixth form common room, and we were flicking through it trying to find the name, and we just came across it from the Barbarian cartoon, and we went, that's so stupid, we're going to call ourselves that. You know, so that's what we did. Yeah, that was it.
You have honestly made my day, really, really happy. It was one of those things, it's probably a coincidence, or is it? So that's brilliant. That's made my geeky day, so thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that's definitely the truth.
Well, again, thank you very, very much, Toby. Thank you for coming.
No problem, pal.
And thank you for giving up your time to do this interview.
No, not at all. My absolute pleasure, you know. And anytime you want to come along to a show and all the rest of it, you're more than welcome. And, you know, we can't wait to get back out there again as a headlining act and see everybody. And we'll be back in, like you say, in Northern Ireland very, very soon, April time. So keep your eyes peeled, folks. You know.
Brilliant. Thank you. And that's all, folks. Hope you've enjoyed the interview with Toby. And we'll try and do a few more interviews as we go along.